This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the Personal Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.ordinariate.org. The following sermon was preached on Sunday, November 25th, 2018. The Solemnity of Christ the King, by Father William Doc Holliday.
To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins and made us a kingdom. May the words of my mouth, the meditation of all of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Every time we reach the Solemnity of Christ the King, think about the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. It always brings to mind, for some reason, for me anyway, these folks who will come up to you on sidewalks and try to place a tract in your hands. You need to make Jesus Lord of your life. You don't make Jesus anything. Jesus Christ is Lord. He is seated at the right hand of the Father. He has overcome the world, the grave. He has overcome death itself. Jesus is Lord. The question is, are we loyal subjects to the King? That's where I want to go today. Because there's some things that we need to contemplate, we need to understand about being loyal servants to the King of Kings and to the Lord of Lords. That reading from the book of Revelation, the second one today, that loving King who, the emphasis on that he loves us and freed us from our sins and made us a kingdom, subsequent to those acts of grace. When we think of the kingdom of God, it is not just to focus our complete attention on the King, because he is King and there's nobody that's going to do anything about that. It is more a question as to are we going to maintain our life as loyal servants to that King? This is where we have to start thinking about things. And there are some things that you have to learn. You have to lay a foundation. And the foundation is the understanding that whether we are loyal servants or not is a day-to-day thing. Okay? Most of us pray the Lord's Prayer almost every day. Some of us, you say the rosary, chaplets, you say the Lord's Prayer many times a day. One of the first petitions in the Lord's Prayer, thy kingdom come. We just described that Jesus is seated on his throne in heaven. So what are we asking for? We're asking that that kingdom be manifest in us. It starts in here, and then we present it to this dark and sin-cursed world. So we have to understand the things about being a loyal servant. First, you have to understand that you are not by your nature or by virtue of your birth part of his kingdom. Not only are you not part of his kingdom, before your baptism, you are at enmity with God. You are his enemy. You're an enemy of the King just by virtue of your birth. Kind of weird because it's just the opposite of this world. You're born in the United States. You're a citizen of the United States. You're born in Finland. You're a citizen of Finland because you were born there. This kingdom of God is something that we have to voluntarily, because of our desire, become part of that kingdom. We are all immigrants, so to speak. We all have to go through the process of entering into this kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. When we ask that petition, thy kingdom come, as I said, we are asking that that be manifest in our lives. And it's unreal. It is meaningless, and I would actually submit to you it's false, to ask thy kingdom come with this presupposition that, well, I'm a member of the kingdom anyway, so whatever. Not only are we not by nature members of the kingdom, but even after our baptism, there's this thing called sin that we have this tendency to do thought, word, and deed time and time again, day after day. Every time we do that, we prove ourselves to be less than loyal servants of the king. Some things, grave as they are, you prove yourself to be absolutely disloyal to your king. This cannot be. Disloyalty to the authorities can have tremendously detrimental effects. Historically, for instance, up into recent history, a soldier that is not a good soldier on the battlefield, a coward, who would run from the face of the enemy. You know what happened to them? They were executed. Executed. Summarily. You run in the face of the enemy, you're a soldier, you're killed. Well, that was back in the day, like in the medieval times and everything. There was an American soldier at the end of World War II who was executed for desertion. His name was Edward Slovic. Google it. 1945, there are people in this room who were alive when an American soldier was executed by firing squad because he fled and would not fight. Being executed by firing squad is whatever happens after that, it is temporary. Now, there's still the question. Heaven, hell, those four last things. If we are captured by our enemy because of our cowardice, the consequences are eternal. We have to appreciate that. So when we understand that by his grace, by his opening our eyes to the truth of his kingdom, by giving us the faith to believe things because he says them, because we should know that he is King and King and Lord of Lords by his nature. Why is he king over everything? Because he created everything. You make it your rules. That's Jesus Christ. Through him all things were made. Not anything was made that was not made through him. He is king by nature. He is king because he earned it. It's just not because, hey, I created everything because I'm God. Now do what I say. He came down from heaven and lived a sinless life for us and then endured that at the hands of his creatures to fight. Fighting is not easy. Fighting is not pleasant. Never. I love advancing the kingdom of Christ because if you're really doing it, guess what? You're not going to like it. Because it's got to start in here, as I said. You've got to conform yourself to his lordship. You've got to change the way you think about things historically. You have to change the way I think this, I think that, all that first person singular stuff. You have to give it over to the foot of the cross and you have to conform yourself to Jesus Christ. And we just had an election a couple weeks ago. And this is the most apolitical parish you would ever see. Don't go there. I self-consciously don't hand out voter guides and everything, but what I do stress is that you have been bought with a price. When you go into a voting booth, you have to vote as if you were Jesus Christ. You cannot vote for people that do not hold Christian tenets. I don't mean they're not Christian. Well, I'm talking about people that overtly want to do things that are against your faith. You cannot vote for them. It's not, I'm a good soldier for Christ in church, but when I go in the ballot box, that's a different thing. No, it's not. You have to be a loyal subject all the time. He demands this of you. He has given you everything that you need to be a faithful and loyal servant of his. He has provided all the graces necessary. He has provided invisible graces. Your guardian angel, the angels that oversee the church, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, things that we don't see, but he has provided things that we do see, visible graces, the sacraments, the sacramentals, the Word of God, prayer, all these things he has given us that we may be defended and strengthened to be good soldiers. And it's not just a matter of being a loyal subject. I'll do what you say. What he says is he wants you to fight for him. This is something that has been lost in our day, this whole emphasis on the church militant. I have actually read a bishop statement. We don't use that term anymore. You may not, Excellency, but we do. Because that is what the Catholic Church in this world should be, is the church militant. It's where we derive the word military, militia. It is a fighting force. And everybody who's in it has to fight. Everybody. It's not like you can get a behind-the-lines job in this force. Everybody has to be on the front lines and fighting. Again, you have to fight within yourself to overcome your own presuppositions. And then once you do that, you have to let others know about Jesus Christ being King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That is probably one of the most difficult things for people in our day, and I don't understand why. I mean, I understand it as much as it is difficult. But you must be upfront with people as you advance the kingdom of Christ. Jesus Christ is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Not Muhammad, not Buddha, not Krishna, name your poison. None of them are King and Kings and Lord of Lords, only Jesus Christ. Him and him alone. Oh man, don't get up there and be a belligerent hard case. What was the last line in the gospel that we heard this morning? Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. Those are the words of Jesus Christ. His voice. And his voice alone, because there's only one King of Kings and Lord of Lords, or that title is ridiculous, it's Jesus Christ. That's the first point of the spear. Let people know that they need to understand that Jesus is King. Not make him King and King and Lord of Lords, but he is. It is an objective fact. They'll get mad at me and they'll hate me. They might even hit me with something. Welcome to warfare, spiritual and otherwise. We need to fight for our Lord. We need to be good, loyal soldiers, and that's what happens. I said we've lost this sight. We're going to have confirmations in a couple weeks. When our bishop comes, he always does, but I always reiterate with him, they're expecting the slap in this place. Is historically, when you're confirmed, there's that little slap on the cheek by the bishop. And what it does is it manifests the reality of the fact that you are now a soldier of Christ. And you must act accordingly. It is not a suggestion. It is a demand on your life. We have to appreciate that. And he's given us, as I said, everything that we need to do it. If we don't use it, whose fault is it? It would be like a soldier joining the army. And here's some really cool weapons. And here's some really cool shields and stuff and body armor to wear. Go at it. I don't need that. What? Well, that's a ridiculous illustration. That's Catholics for the most part. Our Lord has provided all these things for us and we don't avail ourselves of them. The Eucharist. I go to Mass on Sunday. Bread and water. You don't get real strong on bread and water. Go to the Eucharist as much as you can. Go to the confessional regularly. You are required once a year to go to confession. Once a year. You should be going more than that. Because that's where you gain sacramental graces to withstand the assaults of the enemy. The reading of the Word of God. Knowing what he wants you to do. Duh. That's kind of first and foremost, isn't it? To understand that you should be in that, to understand what your marching orders are. There are so many people who don't even know who Jesus Christ is or what he said. Everybody's okay. If you're a monotheistic, you pray to a monotheistic God, you're all right. That's not what Jesus says. If you're the truth, you'll hear my voice. That's Jesus Christ. That's being a Catholic. That's fighting. And might it hurt for some family members, a lot of friends? Yep, it sure will. Welcome to warfare. Be a loyal soldier. If we are loyal, we will come more and more and more to the realization that to be a loyal soldier, we're fighting for something that is tremendously glorious, nothing more glorious than the kingdom of God. The incomparable excellence of the kingdom of God. As St. Paul, and he is actually repeating the words of the prophet Isaiah, so this is Old Testament, New Testament. When we become a good soldier, and the more we fight, and the more we appreciate our king, we come to this realization that what St. Paul says, repeating Isaiah, that eye has not seen, nor has ear heard, nor can heart conceive what God has prepared for those who love him. It doesn't say that eye has not seen, nor has ear heard, nor can heart conceive of the things he has prepared, period, or things that he has prepared for everybody. Prepared for those who love him. If you love him, you will be a loyal soldier. You will fight for him no matter what it takes. You will be hurt spiritually, emotionally, relationally. That's a given. It's going to happen. That's called getting wounded. It happens to a lot of soldiers. And guess what? When it happens, if you fall, oh, it hurts. It hurts. I'm going to run. Guess what? The enemy's not going to stop attacking you. He's not going to stop shooting at you. You're just going to get wounded again or killed or captured. You get wounded, you keep fighting. Might want to even try to fight a little bit harder because you got to make up for what you've lost. Welcome to warfare. This whole spiritual warfare thing, don't just use that term to make yourself sound pious or churchy. It is a truth. It is a reality. It is a reality within our own interior struggles. It is a reality within our families. It is a reality with our friends. It's a struggle. It hurts. It's warfare. But if we're loyal soldiers, we will do it. In the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost.